This week on Spooky Dudes Podcast, we're talking about VCR porn, babysitting etiquette, and fine art involving psycho clowns. That's right, it's the All Hallows Eve episode right here on Spooky Dudes Podcast. Stick around.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
When shadows fall and spirits howl, zombies stalk and madmen prowl. Monsters lurk and victims shiver. Thrills and chills they will deliver. Arise from your graves and get in the mood. It's time to join the Spooky Dudes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Spooky Dudes Podcast, where tonight we'll be talking about All Hallows Eve, the 2013 Halloween-themed, anthology film.
Anthology.
There we go. Thank you.
What it is.
Hey, did y'all hear that voice? It's Eric Williams.
What? Where'd he go?
I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow.
Anyway.
You like it? That's no. Pretty good. You don't like Vanilla Ice?
No. I like vanilla. Not Vanilla Ice.
Well, I'll try to keep my ice to a minimum.
Man, just spraying the cheese can heavy right now.
I'm lactose free. Just kidding. Yeah, so tonight Eric picked the All Hallows Eve anthology flick, but first I think we're going to talk a little bit of horror news. What you got, dude?
What do you got? Actually, no, I do have, two episodes ago now? Yes, two episodes. After Before Man, we did Critters, A New Binge, which was a web series, interesting idea for Critters. Listen to our thoughts. Don't want to go into too much, but anyway, I mentioned how they wasn't sure if they were doing a feature film. There is a feature film doing on the Sci-Fi Channel, and it is no connection or correlation with the Shudder Critters New Binge series. And don't have a lot of information about it. I just know they give it an R rating. And we'll see what happens. I mean, there's not really a lot of information about that. I know it, but it is coming soon to the Sci-Fi Channel.
Sweet. I'm looking forward to that one. Much more than the last one.
Yeah. It's check out our episode. We hear our opinion. We're not getting into that bag. Are you a fan of the Swamp Thing?
Love Swamp Thing. I love Swamp Thing.
So the DC, this is more comic book related, but I like to put it in the horror category because Swamp Thing is a creature. No, he's a superhero. The DC Universe streaming service, which is out for, I think it's been out for a while now. Swamp Thing has its own television series devoted to that that's coming. And they released the first teaser today, which is April 18th. So what do you think? Excited? You want to see more?
I do want to see more. He looks awesome.
He looks very true to the comic aspect of it. I'm a big fan of Swamp Thing Returns. It's extremely cheesy, but that's why I love about it. And I love the look of him. I think he looks the greatest. And he definitely is pulling off that vibe.
Yeah, it's the coolest Swamp Thing's ever looked on camera, for sure. Yeah, I'm excited about it, dude. There's been a little bit of drama surrounding it, right?
Apparently someone heard a rumor somewhere that they had canceled it abruptly, but apparently what really happened is they just shaved the episode number down. Apparently someone in my neighborhood is on a four-wheeler this time of night.
Somebody's shaving down the street.
Yeah. Excuse me. Apparently they just shaved down 3 episodes from 13 episodes to 10 episodes. Now what that means, who knows? No one knows. So the WB decided to respond with this kind of bad press that was started servicing with a short teaser, giving you a small visual of what the Swamp Thing is going to be. It's pretty cool. It's about a minute long. Check it out on YouTube. But yeah, that's been all the information. How about that? You won't know till May 31st is when it's going to come out, which it looks cool. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we're definitely all going to be checking that out. It's basically a good reason to get the DC streaming service. That and Doom Patrol, from what I hear, is pretty good. I have a quick update on something I mentioned last episode.
What's that?
So if you guys are interested in the halfway to Black Friday sale from Vinegar Syndrome, I've confirmed the dates. It is Memorial Day weekend. That is May 24th through the 27th. We record these shows a little bit in advance. So you've got a few weeks to go to the website, vinegarsyndrome.com, and pick out what you want. Go ahead and get ready. Most of these movies are going to be half off, so it'll be pretty sweet. I don't think I can make it past a sale of theirs without buying something. So, yep, that's probably what I'll do. I'll try to talk Eric into buying something too. I'm a bad influence.
It's a possibility. I'm a little more picky now on my purchases though of physical media, which I have. I've used to have three bookcases at one point, just double stacked, double faced.
Yeah.
Now I'm down to one single faced, and it's very of my best picks. I curate my collection very meticulous now, but it's quite possible.
Fantastic.
Speaking of new films, have you seen new films lately?
New. I have not seen anything like super new. I went back on Shudder, and I've been watching the Joe Bob Friday Night, the last drive-in show.
I feel like there should be a colon, like last drive-in colon here tonight, because this is the name of it. It's funny.
Something. It's the last drive-in. Yeah. I actually went back and started watching Dinners of Death.
Which is the Thanksgiving special.
Yeah. And I did not get to watch it all when it was happening, so.
Well, I mean, legit came out on Thanksgiving, didn't it? Yeah. I can't remember, the day before. No, it was Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Came out over like the Thanksgiving break. I think it was on Thanksgiving. Yeah.
It was.
Enjoying that. He does Texas Chainsaw Massacre first thing. And that's Texas Chainsaw Massacre is one of my top four favorite movies of all time. I don't really get tired of seeing it.
I love how it's still considered one of the most bloody horror movies.
Yeah.
It's actually not.
No, it's not bloody. It's just. It's brutal and gritty, man. Something about that movie just makes people uneasy. It's just so good. So well done. Yeah, I dig it though. I highly recommend it. If you guys don't have Shudder, and you like Joe Bob Briggs, I think you just need to get Shudder. I don't know any way around it. It's worth it.
It's definitely worth it. We're not sponsored. Definitely worth it. And I know, Joe Bob's resurgence, I think even he was kind of amazed how big a fan base he had. But I would say it's definitely boosted Shudder's numbers. I mean, they still have some issues weekly with streaming on certain devices. Because when they first did the 24-hour marathon, that was meant to be a one-time thing, their servers crashed for like 8 to 10 hours. So on various types. So some people got to see the marathon all the way through, some people didn't. So, but yeah, it's worth it. It's getting better.
It's great, guys. You can watch these things on demand.
Well, speaking of movies that are on demand currently, but on a much, much bigger screen, I went and saw the new Hellboy recently, and I've seen it twice, actually. And it's kind of a bummer that it's getting such bad press, bad reviews. It is a lot of fun, man. I really enjoyed it. It's very brutal, very gory. It pulls extremely heavily from the source material. So if you're a Hellboy fan of comics, the character you're gonna be quite surprised at the stuff you see. And I'm not gonna spoil anything, but I really wish people would stop comparing it to the Ron Perlman and Del Toro films. Compared on its own merit. Did you ever see Venom?
The one with Tom Hardy?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's a really good movie, but it's getting compared. It was, I feel it's getting the same shake as Venom. I think also the time they decided to release it was kind of a bad choice. This shouldn't have been put up this summer. This should have been put a different time of the year. But yeah, man, it's great. I mean, you have any questions about it or anything? Because I don't want to spoil too much about it. But
nah, not really. I want to see it. I thought it looked really good. I know it's getting a little ripped up in the media, but I probably won't get to see it till it comes out at home. But I'll definitely watch him. I love Hellboy. The comics were good. The other movies were good. The cartoon's good. I mean,
I want to see more of this. I want to see more of Harbor's Hellboy. Just every, I mean, I really like what they're doing. It's really good. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, that's about all new stuff and newsworthy that I've got. Do you have anything else?
No, man. That's all I had. Just spreading the good word about vinegar syndrome.
Well, we are not sponsored.
Spreading the syndrome. So this week was Eric's pick. It's All Hallows Eve, 2013 horror anthology film. And just want to mention really quickly, it was directed by Damien Leone. It's his feature film directorial debut. And he also went on to do Terrifier. So, but yeah, Eric, tell us about the movie, man.
So this is an anthology anthology film with a wraparound, three stories. basically, the wraparound starts with the babysitter. It's Hallows Eve. Good Lord, I can't talk. It's Halloween night. And these two kids, brother and sister, they're doing typical thing with their candy. And one, there's this VHS tape that was dropped in a bag, which is weird. So they convince her to put the tape in. That's when it starts the anthology series. That's pretty much it in a nutshell of the wraparound. And we'll get around the wraparound as we go through the anthology series. But this is also the introduction of Art the Clown, which is, it's cool.
Yeah. And it's a different Art than the guy who plays Art in Terrifier. You can tell if you look at him, he just looks different. And that's fine. He's still creepy as hell.
And the short films that are on the VHS tape are actually old short films that were made by the director year before he even did Terrifier, or the one it's called, which the first one was called The Ninth Circle. So that's a fun tidbit about that.
I didn't know that. That's cool, though.
So the first film, this is streaming on Amazon Prime currently. Yeah, well, you might be able to find other streaming services, but I don't think you'll be able to find, you'll probably have to rent it or something. It's very short. It's probably about an hour and a half, just a little over an hour and a half, hour and a half.
83 minutes.
Thank you. Again, apologies, I'm stuttering. But first story kind of makes no sense. I'm going to throw a spoilerish tip. I'm going to talk about some stuff. I'm not going to try to spoil a lot of stuff. But the first story starts out with a girl in a train station.
Hold on one second. I didn't hear if you say this or not. This is on Prime. If anybody wants to go watch it, it's streaming free on Prime, Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, sorry. All right, carry on. Spoilers in effect.
So the first girl, the first story, it's the wraparound is the babysitter of these kids watching this VHS. So as they start the movie, it starts with this girl sitting at a subway station. She's been waiting for the train, and here comes this weird clown sitting in a room by herself, and he starts messing with her, honking a horn at her, giving her flowers that shoots water at her. But then out of nowhere, he just pulls out a needle and injects her. And then she wakes up in a weird tunnel somewhere, chained. And you find out there's two other girls chained up in this tunnel.
Yeah.
And again, this story kind of makes no sense to why they got from point A where they're now to point B. But as they get, you find out they get from the other two girls, they're being drugged down this tunnel. They don't know what happens to them. So the one girl's like, we should run down there and see. So they decide to do that. And one girl is protesting no, but then all of a sudden the chain, the girl A gets yanked and she gets drugged down the hallway and they're all screaming. Well, the two girls go investigate. And that's where you meet this enormous freak mutant type thing with an axe. And,
looks like a shaved bear or something.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it, really.
Kind of lumpy. I don't know. It's a giant lumpy muscle.
But the other girl hacks the other girl to pieces, and she manages to escape. And she starts running away and runs into a homeless man pushing a shopping cart, which turns out he's in league with the mutant, I guess.
Yeah.
So she gets drugged again, and now she is strapped to another table surrounded by demons, and one demon comes up and disrobes, and apparently it's the devil, and she's about to be raped. That's literally the first one in a nutshell. It's very confusing. I feel like it was done to, like, my buddy's like, man, I got really good visual effects, and I need a short reel. Can you help me out? But what did you think of the first story?
I liked it. It was crazy. You know, I didn't know what to expect. And I had texted you at the time and said the first one reminded me of House of 1,000 Corpses, because it kind of had that vibe of just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes from a freaking clown to kidnapping to random chains being pulled through the dark and women eating or whatever's going on to this crazy, weird cult satanic thing.
Yeah, in a very short time span.
Yeah.
But it makes no sense. Again, it makes no sense how they got from the train station clown to insemination with the devil.
Yeah, the least sensical thing to me is, why is art in this?
Yes.
And the answer is because, should we go ahead and say?
We've already thrown spoilers out there. Go ahead.
Because art is in every segment. This is the vehicle to launch art's horror movie career, basically. He appears several times, and we'll talk about those more as they, you know, come up to the movie. Was that your belly?
Yes, sorry.
Nice. We got a special guest tonight, Indigestion.
It'll be here throughout the episode, most likely. There's the very first story, and then it cuts back to the babysitter. You know, she's like, what is this trash? Oh, you're too old for this. You're too young for this. She turns it off. And then the kids are, you know, they're naturally complaining because they want to watch. She sends them to bed, goes upstairs, tucks them in, and she comes back downstairs, and she gets curious. Again, this is the wraparound. She gets curious, so she starts the VHS again. And now we're in the second story. And the second story is an alien abduction, home invasion type story.
Yeah.
It's definitely the weakest of the three.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Well, then one thing cracked me up. This movie took place, I guess, I don't know if it was made in 2013 or maybe a year before that, but I did notice everyone had iPhone 4s, which made me giggle just because I'm a tech nerd. So it starts out this couple, this woman who is talking on the phone with her best friend. Apparently her and her boyfriend, husband bought a new house, and she's talking about this painting that he just painted. Apparently he woke up one night and painted it. An immaculate masterpiece painting. He does had no remember what he's doing, and it's under a sheet. So you're made to think, like, okay, this movie, this story is going to be about this weird, mysterious painting. Nope. As it goes on, was there a UFO crash or the power just flick out? I think something crashed.
For some reason, I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure something crashed and it knocked the power of the house, and then she was running around. There's times where she's really scared or really nervous, and then she walks to another room. She's completely calm. So the acting is a little weird, a little iffy. It's in some moments. But she's walking around the house trying to find a flashlight because they just moved in, so there's all boxes. And then you see this silhouette moving in the background. It's like, okay. Then as she's walking through the house, that's when you meet. She's in the garage, finally, shining a light. And this is where you see the alien, which looks like your dollar store version of an adult costume. Like, this is what an alien would be.
Yeah. Or
a man wearing a black leotard with a dollar store alien mask and a scuba tank on his back. It's like, as soon as you see there, like, oh man, well, what did you like about this story?
About the alien?
Yeah.
The way the alien moved was kind of silly, but it was also kind of entertaining. There's a lot of hand dancing.
It's like someone's like, I'm a fan of Doug Jones. I'm going to try to do a performance arts cap piece in this alien leotard.
I mean, I absolutely agree with you, though. It is the weakest of the segments. It's still not bad, I don't think, but it definitely doesn't have the punch of the first one or the third one.
It does have one shocking moment, because after the alien sees her, it now is trying to abduct her for some reason. So the rest of the story is her running through the house trying to stay silent. That's a cat and mouse game with alien trying to find her. And then when he can't find her, he just rummages through some random shit in their boxes like a cat. But when he finally finds her and drags her off, she's grabbing whatever she can, try to stop grabbing. But he cuts back to that painting she talked about. She grabs that sheet and then rips it off. And lo and behold, you see, who is it?
Art the Clown.
Yay. Which is also the cover art for this DVD.
Yeah, it does make a cool cover. It makes a painting that makes absolutely no sense, though, in these people's house. Yeah, the alien one, I could have done without. I'm not even going to say that. I'd say with the context of this movie, I think it was fine because it was different.
They could have done a little bit better. Like, if they just didn't show the alien, I mean, they could have shown, like, weird hands stuck to, like, silhouettes in the background. You're in a dark house. It could have made just, once you, I mean, it's, and you see it, and like, oh, man, it's, yeah.
Well, yeah. Every anthology movie, though, has that one segment where you're like, this could be better.
And this one also is a short anthology film. It only has three short stories.
Yeah. You
know, a lot of anthology shows there, they have, what, six sometimes, maybe eight?
Most of them are like four.
I'm thinking like ABCs of Death or something like that.
Oh, that's 26.
But after the abduction, cuts back to the wraparound again, where the babysitter is now, I guess she's kind of getting somewhat scared when she starts talking to a friend of hers. And then it cuts back to the daughter. She's babysitting. She's upstairs in her room. The closet door starts wiggling. She's scared. And apparently her brother made some comment about the clown's going to get you. She's scared. She decides to go sleep in her brother's room with him. Then I think she hears a noise, runs to the woods and goes to the window, turns out his kids, but it basically leads up. She gets curious again. She turns the movie back on. And this, the third story, I won't go too much into it because I can spoil the first two stories. The third story is a little bit better overall tonally. It looks like a grindhouse movie. And I get the, you know, the film scratching look that they use in a lot of movies, but you can't overuse that. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the third?
I liked it. I liked it pretty well. It's basically a straightforward, like, stalk and slash kind of deal. For anybody that hasn't seen this, it's enjoyable. It is a lot of Art the Clown doing Art the Clown things. If you've seen Terrifier, which probably more people have seen that than this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's basically that. There's some really similar stuff to Terrifier in this. I think, well, isn't this segment called Terrifier?
I can't remember, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it starts out, and a woman pulls it to a gas station, running out of gas. And a gas station attendant, which is gas, full service gas stations still a thing?
Not around here for the most part, but I think they have them.
Well, I know somewhere out west, I believe, there's a store a couple months ago, like they now allow self-serve, and apparently there was like a major life change for them people in whatever state that was.
Having to pump their own gas?
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's a real thing. I mean, they were people like, they were visually upset about that. You can look it up. I'll have to find it. But like, I've never in my life been to a self-serve, like a full-service station, so when I see that in movies, it's like, huh. Or if that's just faded out with time or that's still a thing. But this girl pulls up to get a gas station, and all of a sudden, Art the Clown pops out of nowhere. Apparently, he's been in the bathroom shitting on the walls, according to the gas station attendant.
He does apparently like to do that. Two confirmed cases of that happening in Art's career.
I guess if you're bored, I don't know. Not my cup of tea.
I think he uses it as a way to just make people uncomfortable. Like, I think he's all about
do it.
Like just making people as miserable and scared and sad as possible.
Going to the shit house and rubbing your stuff over the walls, that's, you know, you're definitely in the right train, I guess. That or writing poetry with a Sharpie. Anyway, so he kicks the clown off and you see him walking away. Then the gas attendant hears some noise inside the garage. He goes back in there and leaves the girl outside. And then he disappears for a while. And she goes in to investigate. And she finds the gas station attendant laying on the ground being cut into pieces by Art the Clown with like a hacksaw. Which is the scene this anthology movie opens up with bits and pieces of. You see that scene. And after that, I won't spoil how it ends. But the chase ensues. Basically, he starts chasing her throughout the rest of the movie. And trying to think. Sorry. But yeah, what did you think of the whole story of that one?
Of the third piece?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. He's just like unstoppable. I'm not trying to like ruin anything, but he just seems crazy unstoppable. I don't know. Which was your favorite segment?
I think the third one out of all of them. Because the first one kind of made no sense.
Yeah,
it was cool. It made no sense. I'm like, oh, there's some cool effects, and like prosthetics and stuff. But you were in a train station, then a few minutes later you're underground chained, and then a few minutes after that you're being raped by demons.
I agree with you on the third one. It's the most fully realized story in the film, right? It's the one that they turned into a full-length movie, and it worked great.
Yeah.
You know, and they changed a couple things, of course, but it's basically the same as the movie. Yeah, I think it's the best one of the three. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy the other two, because I thought this whole thing was good. I told Eric, you know, when I first started watching it, I bought this at around October last year, because I just tried to find every sort of Halloween themed anthology I could, and I got this in the part two on DVD. And I, after I watched this, I got that Halloween feeling, and I think this is going to stay in my Halloween, like October movie watching rotation pretty well.
It's very creepy overall. I mean, it has a genuine creepy feel to it. And I first discovered this years ago in the $5 bin on the Walmart. I just because I saw that cover, I'm like, oh, that looks kind of cool. And I never watched it, but I always remembered it. And when Terrifier came out, I'm like, I remember that clown. And that's when I started looking it up again. I found it out. the wraparound story is probably the best ending out of all the stories. And I won't talk about the ending of the wraparound that way. Not a complete spoiler. But after you get to the third title, the babysitter is now genuinely creeped out a little bit. So she turns the film off. Well, all of a sudden the TV turns itself back on and it shows like a boiler room. Like your point of view, if you're looking at a boiler room, it's empty. And then Art the Clown kind of pops out from behind a very narrow pipe and starts waving at the camera. And that's probably one of the best parts. He starts walking toward the screen. And as she looks in the mirror reflection, Art is now in the living room standing behind her. When she turns around, he's not there. Excuse me. What did you think of that? Kind of like Art coming out, kind of all the ring coming out of the TV type thing.
I thought it was cool. I mean, this guy seems to be able to do whatever he wants, so why the hell not?
Well, it made you think about the ring, almost kind of inspired.
Yeah, I'd say that probably had something to do with it. The creator of this seems to be a big-time horror fan, so it makes sense. He might have dug the ring, right?
I guess.
I don't know, man. I'm grabbing at straws for that part of it. I did like it. I mean, I figured something was going to happen, you know?
But the babysitter, she gets the tape shut off in the nick of time before Art could grab her. And then, well, you'll have to watch it to see how it truly ends. But overall, I mean, it's low budget. It's very, very, it goes by pretty quickly. It seems like quick. It's just very, it's good steady pace. It does have a genuine creepy feel. But if you'd like to see the birth or introduction of Art the Clown, I'd say definitely check it out. Now, they do have a sequel, which is All Hallows Eve 2. I don't really care for it. I mean, it's okay. I think the fact that Art the Clown's on it is the reason I don't care for it more. So I really enjoyed Terrifier. So I think I'm kind of biased now. But overall, it's a fun watch, especially if you want to watch on Halloween.
Oh, yeah. It's staying in my October pile, man. I'm going to recommend it, too. I got a soft spot in my heart for slashers and anthology films. Especially anthology films that kind of revolve around Halloween. Like this isn't as good as Trick or Treat.
No,
like not even close, but it's still good. It's still good to watch. It's got the Halloween vibe. They got the Halloween decorations up. That's one thing, you know, we talked about. Eric has this kind of fetish for VHS porn, which is when somebody sticks a tape in a VHS player in a movie. He likes that.
Let me explain that a little better.
Yeah.
So I call it like tech porn. Like when someone's demonstrating what's those little, you know, fidget cubes people like to do?
Yeah.
Like switches and stuff. You see some people clicking switches and stuff. It's like a tick. But like I'm a fan of VHS films and that nostalgia. When I see somebody put a VHS tape inside a VHS player and I hear the gears start turning, then the VHS, the dock loads, and the spool pulls the ribbon out and starts running through. It clicks something in time, like nostalgia, because I remember hearing all those things. So I'll just call it porn, but that's not the kind of porn describing.
Yeah. I've got the same thing, but with Halloween decorations. when they do just a close-up of a Halloween decoration sitting there, especially like an older-looking decoration, I'm just like, maybe it's not even a porn feeling. It's like a, makes me feel good, like fulfilled or something. I don't know. Getting a little deep on this. Anyway, I like Halloween decorations, especially in movies. So, there you go.
So, how often do you get an erection when you go to the Halloween decoration section at your local store?
Not as often as you'd think.
It kind of like sounds like where you're going.
I might pop wood next time I step in a Spirit Halloween center. What do they call it? It's a Halloween superstore, whatever.
Just stay in the adult section.
Oh, yeah. That's a must.
So, yeah, that went off the rails. All's Halloween's very short, sweet anthology film. It's fun to check out. And it's kind of one you, I mean, you can watch your Halloween, you can watch anytime you want.
Like us, we're watching it. We watched it in April.
Yep. I got a good feeling Gary's on the way.
Happy Easter.
Speaking of which, you know what I just realized?
What's up?
You haven't done?
Picked a movie?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Did I really not?
Nope.
Oh, damn. All right.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. All right. Without further ado, I'm going to pick a oldie, moldy oldie here. The 1972 Lucio Fulci flick, Don't Torture a Duckling. I've heard a lot of things about this. I like Lucio Fulci's movies typically. Tried to pick something I haven't seen before, and I have not seen this. It is on Amazon Prime. So you guys can check it out and watch along with us for next week. We're going to take things to Italy, you know, because when you're here, you're family. It's like Olive Garden.
What?
Have you seen that one?
No, what is that? What roll back to the Olive Garden thing? How the hell you mixed that? Okay, never mind. No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's the Olive Garden slogan. When you're here, you're family.
Well, why don't they give him my shit for free then if it's my favorite family? I
mean, yeah, my mom don't charge me to eat at their house. That's a good point. All right, guys. So for next week, let's do that 1972 Lucio Fulci flick, Don't Torture a Duckling. I know the name is weird. Heard it's pretty crazy. I'm excited, man. Fulci makes some crazy films, so this could be a lot of fun. And it's Italian. I think this may be the first Italian movie we've done on this show. I have to go back to check, but I bet it is. So, all right, guys. I need you to do us a favor. Huh?
Before you get into that.
Yeah.
It's interesting you picked that because an article just came across my desk here.
Uh-oh.
There's a documentary coming out about Fulci.
Oh, yeah.
Fulci for Fake.
Yeah, I saw that pop up. The name confused me a little bit.
It's a movie that centers on an actor played by Nicola... Nope, I ain't gonna try that. Who is cast as Fulci in the film about the director's life? So I guess it's gonna be a biopic about Fulci, sort of.
Yeah, kind
of. Oh, interesting. But it's literally the first I heard of it. So
yeah, but we'll check it out. We're always looking for something new to watch, and this is new to us. So check it out on Amazon Prime, guys. Hey, do us a favor. Go on your iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. If you like the show, if you don't like the show, I'm sorry. Let us know what we're doing wrong, and we'll try to address it. And you can do that by writing to us at spookydudespodcast@gmail.com. Reach out to us on Facebook. We have a page on there called Spooky Dudes. Instagram, Spooky Dudes as well. And I think we have a Twitter, but we don't use it, so don't even worry about reaching out to us there. Twitter is a weird universe that I don't get, so... Facebook, Instagram, email, y'all. Eric, thanks for picking a cool movie.
Yeah, you could just hear the enthusiasm throughout discussing it.
I gotta pass out. That's the thing. But you know what? It's all good. I enjoyed the episode. It may sound like I didn't, because I may sound super tired, which I am, but it's all good. All right, guys. Eric, thanks, dude. And
see y'all.
And guys, come back next time. Don't torture a duckling. And don't forget to stay spooky, my dudes. There we go.
Hey, gang. Are you looking for another podcast to listen to? Well, you're in luck. The Nerdy Laser is a podcast, and we specialize in 90s nerd culture. But we don't leave anything out. If something is cool and nerdy, we will talk about it. So join myself, Richard Yule, and a variety of guests on the Nerdy Laser Podcast, available on iTunes, Podbean, and the ESO Network.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Spooky Dudes Podcast. Beep. Yeah.